Muy buenos días, estimados Radio Escucha. Soy el doctor Leonardo Claros, jefe de la sección de cirugía bariátrica y director del programa para la pérdida de peso de la Red de Salud de St. Louis. Como es costumbre todos los días, estos sábados por la mañana, es un placer estar en su dial en este programa Hablando con su Doctor, donde discutimos temas relevantes sobre su salud y cosas importantes que le pueden pasar todos los días. Gracias por acompañarnos en esta su radio Mega 106.9 FM Allentown, 99.5 FM Lehigh Valley y 92.9 FM en Reading. Dentro de la población latina existen ciertas enfermedades que resultan sumamente comunes dentro de los miembros de la comunidad. Diversos estudios y estadísticas confirman que existe un alto índice dentro de la población hispana que son afectados en algún momento de su vida por enfermedades como la diabetes, colesterol, depresión, ansiedad y enfermedades cardíacas. Debido en gran parte al estilo y ritmo de vida, hábitos alimenticios y sobre todo por la desinformación al respecto de estos temas. Una de las enfermedades más comunes dentro de la población hispana son las que van ligadas a las afecciones del corazón, problemas cardíacos y lo que son relacionadas con el control del colesterol. Muchos expertos han concluido que es muy común dentro de la población hispana el verse afectados por este tipo de enfermedades, principalmente por el consumo de alimentos con mucho contenido de sal e índices de obesidad. Siempre es de gran importancia realizar chequeos de presión arterial para poder detectar estas dolencias a tiempo con su médico de cabecera. La diabetes es otra enfermedad reciente que ha comprobado que genera muchos estragos dentro de la población latina moderna. Un estilo de vida sedentario, una mala alimentación y, una vez más, el desconocimiento general con respecto a la enfermedad y sus tratamientos son la combinación perfecta para el surgimiento de esta enfermedad y las consecuencias que esta acarrea, como la obesidad y, además, problemas cardíacos. La enfermedad cardíaca es un asesino silente. Muchas veces hay personas y familias que tienen antecedentes familiares de este tipo de patología, pero esta mañana les quiero hablar honestamente y francamente, no para asustarlos, sino también para levantar el índice de sospecha y lo que es el conocimiento sobre este tipo de problemas. Un placer tener como invitado en esta mañana a un cardiólogo que se especializa no solamente en cardiología, pero también electrofisiología. Es el doctor Hardik Mangrolia y una vez más trabaja con nosotros en la red de St. Luke's. Así que demos la bienvenida, Dr. Mangrolia. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
What a pleasure to have you. I was giving a little introduction about, you know, some of the risks of, you know, cardiac diseases. And I know that this program is going to generate a lot of, interest in our, listeners here. So thank you so much for coming this morning.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to this segment.
Hablemos un poco sobre usted. Hablemos de dónde viene Dr. Mangrolia, dónde entrenó, dónde hizo su especialidad, qué lo trajo a traer aquí al Lehigh Valley, hace cuánto tiempo que está trabajando con nosotros en la red de salud de St. Luke's. Let's start with introducing you formally. We want to know a little bit about where you come from, where did you train, where did you do your fellowship, what brought you here to the Valley, what brought you here to St. Luke's.
Okay. I originally came from India when I was in middle school with my parents, and they were working middle in labor jobs, and I was motivated to help people, so I decided to go toward doctor degree. However, my father thought maybe going into computer engineering will be a better idea because it's a short course of education. So I did computer engineering as my undergraduate, but my heart did not set well with engineering, and I still wanted to be a physician. So I decided to take some basic classes in undergraduate college, Penn State, where I went to. Then I did take exam and then apply for medical school, and I was accepted at Temple Medical School. So that's where I did my medical school. After that, I did my residency at George Washington University Hospital in Washington, D.C. And then I came back to Philadelphia and did my cardiology fellowship at Temple University Hospital. And I also did my electrophysiology fellowship at Temple University Hospital.
So you were familiar with the area through your training and life, you know, maybe for that hiatus that you were in Washington, but you came back to home.
Yes. I kind of grew up in Pennsylvania, and I kind of was attached to Pennsylvania, and I wanted to come back and practice in this state. And yes, I was familiar with this area when I came back and kind of knew it well. So, you know, I decided to do training in Philadelphia for that reason.
Interesante la historia del Dr. Mangrolia. Viene de la India para antes de la secundaria y tenía siempre en su corazón hacer lo que era parte de medicina. Pero el papá de él quería que haga ciencia en computación, en lo que es software, tal vez programación. Y él hace su undergrad en lo que es ciencia, tecnología en computación, pero en su corazón siempre estaba a hacer lo que era medicina y decide ir a la escuela de medicina. Entrena en lo que era el área de Pensilvania, finalmente hace su especialidad en George Washington University en Washington D.C. y eventualmente viene a hacer otra vez la super especialidad en lo que es la Universidad de Temple y eventualmente pues lo atraemos al área. So, did you come straight from Temple here to St. Luke's?
Yes, I finished my fellowship in June and I started at St. Luke's in July of this year.
Were you aware of the network? How were you exposed to it?
I was aware of the network because I had a colleague who worked in the Allentown Hospital and he informed me how the St. Luke's system is growing in this region, how there have multiple hospitals throughout Pennsylvania and even New Jersey, and they're serving a big area. And they are in need for electrophysiologists that will be in coming years. So I was kind of had St. Luke's in my radar that I was looking at for future employment when I was doing my fellowship.
Después de haber hecho la especialidad, el doctor Mangrolia pues dice que él escucha por medio de un colega de que necesitaban cardiólogos y especialistas, especialmente en la electrofisiología en la red de salud. Así que lo traemos a este lado. Realmente un privilegio tenerlo acá como invitado. Había empezado nuestra introducción al programa el día de hoy de que íbamos a hablar sobre afecciones cardíacas. ¿Cuáles son los tipos más comunes de afecciones cardíacas? I started introducing, you know, the segment today that we're going to be talking about heart conditions. What are the most common types of heart conditions today?
So the most common types of heart condition, it can be defined in three different areas. Imagine heart as being a pump. A pump needs electricity. Pumps needs a machine to pump all the water from one area to another area, and it also needs the valves. If you look at the heart has similarly structured. Heart needs electricity to tell it to beat. Heart also needs muscle in order to push the blood out of the heart into the brain and rest of the organs. And heart also needs the valves to prevent the blood from going back into other chambers. So if you look at this three system, in the electrical system of the heart, the most common rhythm disorders we see is atrial fibrillation. It's a rhythm of the top chamber of the heart, it's called atrium. And when atrial does not squeeze properly and fibrillates like shakes, that's when you have atrial fibrillation. When you look at the heart's muscle, there are diseases that can affect the muscle itself that can make the muscle weak or muscle stretch. One of the commonest things that can make the muscle weak or dead is having a heart attack. Heart attack prevents blood and oxygen going to the heart muscle and heart muscle dies. And that makes the heart muscle weak. And so heart is not able to pump. If you look at the valves area of the hearts, the common areas of the valves are where valves get narrower, where they're not allowing enough blood to pump out, or they become stretched and leaky, and they're pumping blood to the wrong chamber. And so there are common conditions affecting all those areas of the heart.
Interesting. Una analogía, pero fascinante, que la que está utilizando el Dr. Mangrolia. Nos dice que tenemos que ver el corazón como una máquina, y una máquina como una bomba de presión. Y la bomba tiene tres cosas importantes: electricidad, la misma maquinaria para bombear, los fluidos, en este caso la sangre al resto del cuerpo, y válvulas. Así que dependiendo del tipo de problema, ya sea de electricidad, hay problemas de electricidad donde hay una mala comunicación de lo que es la electricidad, y eso nos daría lo que sean las arritmias cardíacas, y la más común es la fibrilación auricular. La segunda, cuando estamos hablando de un problema de la bomba en sí, sería del músculo cardíaco, y una de las afecciones más comunes sería un ataque cardíaco. Cuando las personas tienen un infarto, pues el músculo cardíaco no funciona bien y no tiene la suficiente potencia para bombear ese resto de sangre al resto del cuerpo. Y la otra sería las válvulas, válvulas que tienen problemas de incontinencia, que van a tener reflujo de sangre o que van a estar estrechas o estenosadas, que digamos serían las llamadas problemas, digamos, de prevención de flujo anterior. Así que interesante realmente esa analogía. I find it fascinating how you explain that, and I think that makes it easier to understand. So, among those common cardiac affections, are some of them that are more prevalent in the Hispanic community? ¿Hay algunas de estas afecciones cardíacas comunes que tal vez son más prevalentes en la comunidad hispana?
I think having like heart attack, I think is common in many populations, including Hispanic, where the diet that we eat and the work we do leads us to have blockages in the heart arteries. The diet that includes deep fried food or heavy in fat and cheese and cholesterol lets over the time creates blockages in the heart arteries, and those blockages in the heart arteries can eventually cause heart attack or have a silent heart attack, or blockages makes a heart muscle weak, and I think that's more common in your Hispanic population, as well as the other conditions like heart failure, where the heart is not pumping enough blood that body needs, and heart has become weak for many. It can become weak for many reasons, and one of the common reasons are heart attacks. Others are having, you know, drinking alcohol. Frequent lot of alcohol can cause that. Also, having any valve disease can lead to that. Arrhythmias can lead to heart failures. Having obesity is one of the other risk factors for the heart failure. Viral infection can also cause heart failure. So those risk factors can lead to heart failure as well. And, you know, even the cultures I came from has a lot of those risk factors in India as well as here in Hispanic population.
Algunas afecciones cardíacas obviamente son más comunes o más prevalentes en ese tipos, en ciertos tipos de poblaciones. El doctor Manglonia nos decía que hay algunas afecciones tal vez relacionadas más que nada con el interés mío, lo que es obesidad, problemas de sobrepeso, pues tienen un efecto muy, muy grande en lo que son las patologías cardíacas, tal vez falla congestiva, infarto cardíaco, fallas incluso como problemas de conducción o arritmias. Así que es realmente muy interesante todo eso que estamos hablando, y se ve que hay algunos tipos de culturas que tienen pues ciertos tipos de comidas en los cuales este tipo de patología, digamos, es mucho más común. I did my medical school in South America, and over there there's a significant amount of different pathologies. If you have, like, you know, someone that might come, you know, with a problem of, conduction, or like a dilated cardiomyopathy, I mean, Chagas is pretty prevalent,
right.
and things like that, you know,
yes,
that like certain parasite infections,
right.
But that's not that common here in the U.S. So I remember that, you know, when I was doing my residency at Mass General, there was this guy that presented, and I was the only one that kind of put us a differential. And the cardiologist was so impressed, said that I came out. I said, like, well, you know, when I explained to him that that was very common in my country, said, like, well, yeah, that's almost a pink zebra here.
Exactly.
But it's an interesting, and that's what that guy have.
Right.
Because, you know, he came from somewhere else. Yo hice mi entrenamiento en la Escuela de Medicina en Sudamérica, y algunas afecciones como infecciones parasitarias donde dan este tipo de patologías, pero eso no usa mucho en los Estados Unidos, así que es interesante. Do we see anyway some of these problems that might be inherent, you know, like in other places, in other cultures? Have you seen that kind of, you know, pathology here in the Valley? ¿Ha visto usted ese tipo de enfermedad aquí en el Valle?
I have not seen that pathology in the valley, as I've only been here only a couple of months. But I've noticed that during my fellowship, we did have a case of it where the patient had traveled or was from South America, was present in Philly, and was diagnosed with dilated cardiomyopathy, which is a ballooning of the heart, and did have Chagas disease. So especially those patients who just come from South America and have cardiomyopathy, that needs to be on the differential, on the top of the list.
That's true. Pues hay algunos pacientes que vienen, digamos, de otros países y hay que tenerlos alto en el índice de sospecha. Dr. Mangrolia, ¿cuáles serían algunos de los síntomas y signos tempranos de este tipo de patología cardíaca? What are some of the early symptoms and signs of these most common cardiac affections?
So let's go by the diagnosis. So if you know, if you have heart failure, then you may see swelling in your ankles. You may see shortness of breath that is getting worse and worse, and you may feel that, you know, with even small activity, you may feel out of breath. You may also feel shortness of breath when you lay down at night, and you may need to put more pillows, or you may need to sleep sitting in the chair. You may wake up at night catching a breath, and you may see your weight gaining weight. You're gaining weight over the past, you know, past month or weeks. You may notice that. Those are all signs of your body retaining a lot of water. And what happens in the heart failure realm is that your heart is not pumping enough blood and your kidneys are not seeing enough blood. So kidneys are thinking you are dehydrated, and in response, kidneys are retaining more fluid. And it's a vicious cycle, and you start getting more and more fluid retaining. Eventually, you become so symptomatic that you have to go to the hospital and then put on the water pills.
Algunos de los síntomas, dependiendo con el diagnóstico, por ejemplo, en el problema de la falla cardíaca o falla congestiva, usted puede tener los tobillos hinchados, tal vez tener falta de aire, usted no puede respirar o se siente cansado, tal vez cuando tenga que dormir, tiene que dormir en una posición semisentada o con más almohadas de las normales. Y la razón es que el corazón no está funcionando bien, no está bombeando la cantidad de sangre necesaria en los riñones, y los riñones toman esto como que usted está deshidratado. Entonces, para contrarrestar el problema de deshidratación, usted no va a orinar lo suficiente, empieza a retener líquido, y este se vuelve un círculo vicioso que van a, obviamente, empeorar los síntomas, su retención de agua y todo lo demás. Usted podría tener una gran ganancia de peso. Así que si tiene alguno de estos síntomas, pues sería importante que hable con su doctor.
The other condition, like heart attack, you may see you're having chest pain. That is either at rest or with any activities. You may feel sharp or elephant sitting on the chest, like a pain. And you may feel shortness of breath with it. You may feel numbness or tingling in the arm. You can get sweating with it. And if you see those signs, those are signs of heart attack, and you should immediately call 911 for that.
Síntomas que están relacionados con problemas de ataques cardíacos, dolor precordial, presión en el pecho, dolor en la mandíbula que se irradia hacia el brazo izquierdo, náusea, tal vez vómito, somnolencia. Los síntomas pueden ser dados de muchas causas, pero si usted tiene ese tipo de problema, llame inmediatamente a su médico o al 911, porque pudiera usted tener un infarto cardíaco.
Okay. And anything that is causing arrhythmias can make you feel like you're tired, you'll make you feel dizzy, or you could pass out from it. Sometimes the arrhythmia could be life-threatening and you have no warning and you just pass out. In those scenario, that immediately doing a CPR can save that patient's life. If they have just dizziness or lightheadedness, but palpitation, should get evaluated in the emergency room or in the cardiology office, as that could be a sign of some significant arrhythmias.
El problema de lo que es las arritmias cardíacas, el doctor nos decía que los síntomas no son tan específicos. El paciente podría ser cansado, podría agitarse, podría desmayarse, y muchas veces este tipo de problemas están relacionados con arritmias cardíacas. El iniciar resucitación cardíaca o pulmonar inmediatamente le podría salvar la vida. Así que si usted está teniendo síntomas o tiene una historia familiar de este tipo de problemas, es bueno que lo vea a su médico. Estimado Radio Escucha, soy el doctor Leonardo Claros. Estamos en esta mañana hablando sobre afecciones cardíacas comunes. Un placer de tener como invitado al doctor Hardik Mangrolian. Es uno de los cardiólogos que trabaja en el hospital. Y estamos discutiendo una vez más este tipo de patología que es bastante prevalente en el Valle. Así que continuemos. Si alguien sospecha que está teniendo problemas, ¿deberían comunicarse con su médico de cabecera o deberían ir directamente donde un cardiólogo? I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this, and if they think that they might be experiencing some of these things, should they contact their primary care? Should they go straight to the cardiologist? What would be your recommendation?
I would recommend going straight to the cardiologist, as these symptoms are probably signs of something going on with the heart. And going, not to say anything bad about the primary care doctors, but if you're going to go there, they're going to send it to you, an expert, which is going to be the cardiologist. And rather than delay the care, it may be just better to go to the cardiologist if you can, straightforward. Sometimes the appointments are not available right away. And in those scenarios, having to see primary care doctor may help you get started on treatment while you wait for specialist office.
Can a patient self-refer himself to see a cardiologist?
That will be dependent on the type of insurance. Some insurance allow having to see specialist without any referral, and you can get that appointment done. You can have that appointment made. You may not need it. Some insurance require that you have a referral from your primary care doctor before you get to see the specialist. And if you are not sure about these are the symptoms and you may be sure about it, and you can explain that to the person scheduling it, they may allow you to see cardiologist directly for the symptoms.
El doctor Mangrolia nos dice que si usted está experimentando este tipo de síntomas que hemos estado describiendo, no es totalmente irracional o no razonable el que usted vaya directamente donde el cardiólogo. Dependiendo del tipo de seguro que usted tenga, a veces algunos le permiten que usted haga una cita directamente con el médico especialista. Pero si su seguro no lo permite, pues vaya a su médico de cabecera, hable y discuta con ellos. Esto nunca es una mala opción. Y eventualmente tal vez podría referirlos donde un médico especialista para que los traten. ¿Hay ciertos factores de riesgo que existen para este tipo de patología? ¿Cómo pueden los antecedentes familiares afectar las posibilidades de desarrollar un problema relacionado con el corazón? Are there certain risk factors specifically or inherent, you know, to this type of pathologies? How can a family history affect one's chances of developing a heart-related issue?
So let's talk about the heart failure. So if you have signs of, you know, heart failure, and you are somebody in the family has history of heart failures, it could be because they have a heart attack in the past. And if they had a heart attack at a young age, then you should look at your profile and assess whether you have risk of heart attacks, like your cholesterol. Is it cholesterol within a normal range or is it elevated? If you have risk of any congenital abnormalities in the heart because of your family risk, you should look at that. There are times when you are, you know, eating kind of the same diet, same food, you're around a secondhand smoke, that can increase your risk of having blockages in the heart or eating and having a heart attack. So those kind of risk factors that are common with your family should be looked at it. The other arrhythmia risk factors include like anything genetically abnormal with the heart. If you have a genetic problem that can lead to arrhythmias, then it should be looked at it. If, for example, if a patient has history of arrhythmias and has a channelopathy, meaning abnormal way of conducting in the heart, then their kids may need to be looked at it. They may need to be screened about this same genetic abnormalities, because they may have it, and it caught early on, then you can provide treatment for them. And in patients who have heart failures, they should look at, you know, the risk of like infection, or look at the risk of having, you know, history of a heart attack in the past, or look at the risk of smoking or alcohol ingestion. All those risks should be assessed.
El antecedente familiar es importante, como usted decía, el Dr. Mangroli, ese problemas de bomba cardíaca, por decirte, puede haber sido un ataque cardíaco en una edad temprana. Si hay una historia familiar, pues hay un riesgo mayor de producir este tipo de problemas. Si hay problemas de arritmias, si hay problemas genéticos, si alguien, digamos, tuvo un abuelo, el padre, el hermano, y todos tienen problemas de arritmias cardíacas, tal vez haya un gen predisponente de este tipo de problemas. Si alguien tiene un problema valvular, pues la historia familiar, el tipo de dieta, el sedentarismo, la falta de actividad física, como decíamos, en todo eso podría ser un factor, pero muy importante para determinar que las personas tengan este tipo de problemas. Y es importante que lo discuta no solamente con su médico de cabecera, pero también con un médico especialista. ¿Qué tratamientos y procedimientos están disponibles para las personas que enfrentan estas afecciones específicamente en St. Luke's? So what treatments and procedures are available for people dealing with these conditions specifically at St. Luke's?
Okay, so we have quite a few treatment availables. So if you talk about person having a heart attack, they will be able to open your artery right away. If you're having significant blockages in the heart artery, they can put a stent in, which is a metal mesh that can open up and keep the artery open. They can also, if you have a heart significant multivessel disease, meaning more than one vessel has blockages, they can also perform a bypass surgery in the heart. For the heart failure, they can give you medication so that you don't have, you can urinate all the water that is in your system. You can also get medication to help your heart beat stronger and also relieve the lower the blood pressure so that the heart doesn't have to pump so much. In addition, if your heart failure is very severe, they can also put in a mechanical heart called an LVAD, which sits in the heart and pumps the blood instead of heart doing the pumping. And it's basically taking the blood out of the heart and pumping it to the vessel. And it's called left ventricular assist device. It's a LVAD. And St. Luke's can also refer the patients who are young and have a significant heart failure for heart transplant to another institution like Temple University Hospital, who does heart transplants. And the patients who have arrhythmias that are either from the heart failure or they pass out from arrhythmias, we have a lot of treatments for that as well. We can monitor those arrhythmias as well as treat those arrhythmias with medications or a procedure called ablation, where you put the wires and catheter in the heart and burn the tissues, or something called defibrillators, which are like a pacemakers that sits in the, that have a wire inside the heart, and it can detect arrhythmias and it can shock you out of it and put you in normal rhythm, and it can prevent you from dying. So there are a lot of different varieties of treatments available for your specific disease.
Hay una cantidad infinidad de opciones terapéuticas, tratamientos, valvoplastías, tal vez bombas mecánicas que ayuden a bombear la sangre para los pacientes, diuréticos. Lo importante que usted sepa, estimado radioescucha, es que cada tratamiento está específicamente diseñado para ayudar al tipo de patología que usted tiene. Así que los especialistas de salud que están listos para ayudarle. Briefly, what makes the St. Luke's division unique in the area?
Sure, let me answer that. And one more thing I want to go back to the previous question is the valvular disease, when the valve gets narrowed, you know, some before 10-15 years ago, the treatment was a surgery. Now we have a treatment for those valve narrowing where we can go through the groins and put a new valve in, an artificial valve in, and the patient can recover within 2 days and they don't need open heart surgery. So that's another treatment offered at St. Luke's.
Se pueden hacer también trasplantes de válvula, pero de una manera mínimamente invasiva, así que es otra de las opciones que también tiene St. Luke's como oferta.
And to answer your question, what St. Luke's can offer,
what is unique about
St. Luke's? St. Luke's unique is that we have a lot of talent at St. Luke's that can provide care for all these different diseases. Our cardiac program is robust and unique in that we are like one big family, where everybody interacts with another specialty within the cardiac very well. We can contact each other right away and get an answer right away. So I'm an electrical doctor of the heart, but if I had a question for the heart failure team, I could get that answer right away and get that patient's treatment started right away. And we have grown with multiple hospitals. We're building new hospitals, new care for the patients so they can reach it right away. Mm-hmm. We're also very much committed in providing latest treatment to these patients who are suffering from the lot of heart disease, and to provide them with minimal invasive ways of doing it is now very, you know, attractive for the patients, where you don't have to go on a surgery, mm-hmm. and could do it very minimally invasive way of fixing your valves, fixing your heart attack, fixing your arrhythmias. That way it saves patient surgery, saves them a lot of recovery, and we have many great physicians who are trained in this to do this.
Extremado la cantidad de talento que tenemos, así que Dr. Mangrolia, muchísimas gracias por estar con nosotros en esta mañana. Thank you so much for coming, you know, this morning, for sharing your expertise on behalf of the Hispanic community. We thank you for what you're doing for us in the entire Lehigh Valley. Hopefully in the near future we'll have you back as a guest again.
Okay, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure to talk to the group.
Y estimado Radio Escucha, si usted desea tener más información, contácteme en el internet en el www.leonardoclarosmd.com. Será hasta la próxima semana. Gracias por estar con nosotros. Esto es Hablando con su Doctor.